Sign up for a free pass into the Grow Network Library. Access their growing selection of downloadable ebooks on topics that include growing your own food, herbal medicine, homesteading, raising livestock, and much, much more. Be sure to click the link below and get your free pass into this huge Grow Network Library.
My God, it's even bigger now than ever. But in those days, you have to understand or remember 1963. I mean, the world was shocked because of the haircut the Beatles had. I mean, how naive a world are we talking about?
That, you know, you have to put in perspective. They were shocked because the Beatles had long hair.
But how long did they have?
We've come as a society. We're, you know, we complain that all the average people are so naive and whatever. But I guess compared to that, they've come a little far.
But remember the Beatles haircut that shocked the world? How long was that hair? It was here and here. That's it. Boom.
I know. That's what I mean. We've come a long way from that. We were children. You know, we still are in a lot of ways, but we really were back then.
And if I should push this whole thing, there's quite a lot of things that is pointing towards the Beatles being a product of the Tavistock Institute that focuses on mass control of the public, and where there is quite a lot of evidence now coming forward that the Beatles were created and sort of released to divert the attention away from the JFK assassination. It was just a few months after the assassination when people were like, whoa, what happened? And we're starting to dig into this. Boom, this whole thing with the Beatles just erupted. And then that followed because the forces that took over after JFK, this very brutal death machine that is still in place to this very day, same players, just a lot older than with their new generations also. But that was a major takeover. And from there on, you have like a spread out, like an umbrella in different areas where you have the CIA, the creation of the CIA from the OSS in there that was based on Operation Paperclip, lots of Nazis in there. Where also, right after the Second World War, they set up the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, same scientists and so on, which is now the center for all of these Zika virus and Ebola virus scares and the flu vaccines and all of that comes from there. They even own the patents of the Zika virus, the Ebola virus and so on. You also have NASA that was created by the same people at the exact same time. And these are key players to this very day in different areas of this scaremongering situation we find ourselves in now. But the whole, it's also important to understand from the day when JFK was assassinated till 1969, when the Beatles broke up, that's 5 years, 5-6 years. The whole hippie revolution, the whole drug revolution, the whole, all of that from a world being shocked by the haircut of Beatles, 5 years later, flower power, hippie movements, or acid, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I mean, can you even imagine what was going through that? And at the same time, the Vietnam War, where all the attention was being taken away from what was actually important, where the CIA was the one manufacturing all of the drugs, all of these LSD, which was being given out for free in the tens of thousands at these rock festivals. And also you have Laurel Canyon, which, I'm sorry if I jump in too many different directions, but it's actually not different direction because it's the same force just moving on many different arenas at the same time, moving forward. And I had no idea that so many of these things were connected until after, I mean, I've devoted my life some 35 years trying to figure out what is going on. And I just keep bumping into the same people in so many different arenas. And so you have Laurel Canyon, for instance, that it was the base for the whole rock and roll era almost, and the flower power, which was also started. Laurel Canyon is just this tiny little place north of Los Angeles in California, where you had Frank Zappa. And for some very bizarre reason, all of these musicians that could hardly play were being pulled together into this little tiny little valley. And in the middle of that were Frank Zappa, but you had many, many other monkeys. You had, what's the name, Crosby, Stills and Nash. You had Jimi Hendrix was there sometimes. The Stones were there. Beatles were there. Many of these groups that I forgot now. But anyway, in the center of all of that, which was the hype that was so many of these rock stars that then exploded out on the arena internationally, right in the center of that was the Lookout Mountain place, which was a CIA station with the biggest film studio, with a production that was even bigger than Hollywood, most of it that we've never seen, at least that we know of. And that is also where a lot of these drugs things were controlled from, right in the center of this. And this is also where the Sharon Tate murders happened, the Charles Manson, all of the many, many people in this valley were killed and terminated, and you name it. Very bizarre little thing. But I forgot where we came from, but all of this is going hand in hand. And then the more people are becoming freer and freer and freer in themselves in the time of with the hippie movement and all of these drugs and, you know, sex, drugs and rock and roll and let's liberate the world and stuff. And then people like Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy became like rock stars, almost speaking the language of exactly that. Freedom to all, equality for all. And I believe that Robert Kennedy was aiming at becoming the president, and his plan was to get Martin Luther King as the vice president. That, I believe, at that time was unheard of, but that was the time when this could have happened. And so what happened in April 68, boom, Martin Luther King was taken out. I know most of the things around that assassination, everybody involved and how they pulled that one off. And then if that was enough, almost a month later, boom, they took out Robert Kennedy. When the road opened up to the White House for sure for him, they took him out as well. And that was the end of optimism. It was the end of just everything. People just, the air just went, they deflated everything. And since then, it hasn't really gained any momentum until now.
And you think that you feel that there's a parallel right now to what it was like back then, as far as people feeling like suddenly maybe we could make a difference?
Naturopath Liz Miller heard a tale about a delicious red tea. Some called it a voodoo tea that members of a Kenyan tribe in the remote African wilderness drank to stop all feelings of hunger. Liz was so intrigued, she traveled to Africa to find this tea. What she learned is that, yes, indeed, there is a tea that not only stops hunger cravings, but that also burns fat and gives you unlimited energy. When you drink this tea, you will feel full, satisfied, and energized almost instantly, and your body will actually activate its natural ability to burn fat, a built-in superpower you might not have used in years. After a decade more of research and almost 3 years of real-world testing, the Red Tea Detox Program was formed into a complete program to detox the body and flush away fat. Learn more about this breakthrough discovery at the link below.
I can only say that when I started, I felt totally alone. I'm not talking about a little bit alone. I felt totally alone. Nobody was interested. Nobody looked into these things. No, but this was also way before the internet. There was no interest whatsoever. And I was just standing watching, like, for instance, how Sweden was changing after the assassination of the Swedish prime minister in 1986, Olof Palme, which was done by the exact same forces. There were even the same people. There were some people in Dealey Plaza when JFK was shot. There were in Stockholm when Olof Palme, 23 years later, was taken out. I mean, go figure, what are the chances? And Bush in the background, senior, very, very deeply involved in that one as well. So, and that's just one of a whole long series of assassinations globally, where they were cleaning up people that were involved in arms dealing, drugs and stuff like that. So what was your question, Sarah?
Well, I remember Bush senior giving a speech talking about how the policy of assassination and taking out political leaders should not be what we should be doing and should not be our intention. And I still remember that and wondering why he was talking about that. It was interesting. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about or why he was talking about. Maybe he was actually doing an inside debate with somebody on wanting to take out a specific person. I don't know. It was really an interesting. Do you remember him talking about things like that?
Not exactly that one, but very often they will say whatever you want to hear. The time is, whatever is going on, they will tell you whatever it is you want to hear. Whoever you are, that's what they will tell you. So you will keep calm and stay down.
It's whatever they need, whatever their agenda is for you to do, whatever they need you to do, and whatever action gets you to do that is what they'll do. The action, that's what marketing is a lot of times, is
it's
you say whatever you need to do to get them to, and that's completely unethical. But it's what they do, yes.
But marketing is very, very interesting when it comes to this thing because it goes hand in hand. How
Absolutely.
To manipulate the human mind.
Absolutely. That's what marketing is. And you're taking a step too far when you don't care about what your actions are to get your final agenda done. But marketing has gotten to that point. I mean, they study it. They know what the reptilian brain does. They know all of that. And anybody who studies marketing at a higher level, they know that. They know it's all about manipulation and dealing with emotions and all that stuff.
So this is what this marketing we're seeing nowadays, I would say, is based on a lot of scientific experimentations on humans during the 50s, MKUltra experiments, all type of things to find out how do we work? And this is the thing, everything we discover that could be for the benefit of humanity can also be used against us.
Absolutely. And so, I would say, though, I want to push back a little bit. Most people do not realize that it's based on that. Most people think it's an innocent, I'm just trying to get someone to buy a product. They don't know where the research initiated or why.
And every operation is totally compartmentalized. That is standard procedure. So whatever it is, if you're working in a bank, you don't know about the New World Order, the whole agenda with the central banks, the control of all worlds, that is the banks that totally destroys and stuff like that. You work in the bank, you do your job, you're honest, you get the numbers to, you give out the loans and you think you're doing a good job. Well, the higher up you get, I've been informed that I think here in Spain, the banks have the special psychologists that are there to help people in the banking system that are giving out loans that are getting a very bad feeling because the more they understand how money is created out of thin air, where these mortgages and loans are created out of absolute nothing, putting people into total slavery. People with a good heart starts feeling really bad after a while. So the banks have started to employ psychologists and therapists for them to deal with their employees to try and say, no, it's okay, don't worry, it's for the good of all, and blah, 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 to just keep it down. So, but it's the same. You're in a machine.
Well, let's talk about fear-based propaganda, because you've been doing a lot of research on that. And first, why are they doing fear-based propaganda? What is their agenda with that? And what kinds of ways can we identify it?
Okay, so if I say, Sarah, give me $1 million, what would you say? You would say, even if I had.
Yeah, even if I had it, I couldn't get it.
But you would say, are you crazy? Go away, you horrible human being. Stop harassing me. Why do you even ask? Yeah, but if I say, if you don't, you know, there's been all of these fires in the neighborhood. I mean, maybe your house, you never know. So you say, what do you mean by that? I mean, I haven't heard anything. And then maybe suddenly your house burns down. I come back and say, Sarah, give me $1 million. Maybe your child would get hurt. Then you think, oh my God, you start connecting the dots. He was talking about the fire. Then the fire was there. Now he's talking about my daughter. And we're getting into fear-based control, you know, without, but you can do it in many different ways.
You can do it more subtle ways versus, I mean, because that's like, that's how you deal with
mafia.
Yeah, that's mafia stuff. Yeah.
But you cannot do that with a population because then you have a problem. It's for instance, during the Russian, when Stalin had his regime, why were people always arrested in the middle of the night? Because it was there to, because they could only do it at night when people didn't see how few the soldiers really were. You know, because the population are thousands and thousands and thousands. If you got like three soldiers and they said, come with me, well, maybe thousands of people in the city said, back off, leave him alone. And then three soldiers is nothing. It's deception once again. So you have to do it. This is the thing. All the way through back to the Roman Empire, you've always had like small little groups of people that have thought, well, we're so much better than the rest of you, so we will name ourselves the elite, we will be the emperor or whatever, and all the rest of you can just be our slaves. How do you get other people to do that? And the only way you can do it, if you are few and the population are many, maybe millions, maybe billions, is through deception. If we understand how few they are, oh my God, game over. And how do you do it? Through fear. The only thing they have where they can control us is fear.
Give us some examples. Like, what are some basic examples that we are seeing on an everyday basis that makes us feel fearful that we could start saying, okay, I'm not going to let them control me?
They don't do it to you directly. They will do it on a more spread out. And it's very important for them that you cannot track it back to them. So you got like mass shooting. That's a pretty good one. Or you got terror attack, ISIS, beheadings, stuff like that. That is a pretty good
and
start.
You've been able to track most of these mass shootings back to a template that shows you that this is a fear-based process that they're doing to for some agenda. Correct.
Totally correct.
Yeah.
So in the 50s, how many mass shootings were there in the US?
I don't know, not very many.
I would say zero. In the 40s, zero. 30s, zero. 20s, zero. So when was the first mass shooting? It was 1966. It was in Austin, Texas. It was in a tower at the university, the UT tower at the university. And so it said that this young guy, Charles Whitman, was a former military guy who decided, I'm pissed off with humanity, I'm just going to kill a lot of you. So he carried all of these weapons, including a compass. I thought that was really good if you're up in a tower. I mean, what the hell are you going to use a compass for? But anyway, so it said that he went up there with all of these weapons and then started killing people on the university ground. The two officers are said to have been able to get up there, and they managed to kill him. So that was the first time where there was a random act of killings in the U.S., 1966. So what was the result of that? It was not targeted individuals. They were not killed because they were somebody specific or that they'd done something or they had a political position. They were just random people, meaning it could have been you. It could have been your daughter. It could have been your grandfather. Random violence. And the result of that attack was the SWAT team. The first SWAT team was the result of that exact attack. We're back to Roman templates, problem, reaction, solution. That is one of the major ones to understand. The few in power secretly create a problem. Nowadays, this problem is most of the time a mass shooting, a so-called terror attack, a virus scare, a financial crash, something like that. They secretly create it. The reason they create it like that is to get an emotional reaction from us, the normal person. The reason they want it emotional is because then we don't use the brain. We just go, oh my God, that's so horrible. And then the solution, problem, reaction, the reaction is this. And the solution is that we turn towards the people we think are there to protect us not understanding that it's actually them who created it. And so we'd say, please, please help us. And they will then say, well, the only way we can help you with this horrible problem is, and in comes the solution. Problem, reaction, solution. It's a very old Roman template, and you will see it on a daily basis.
Well, what do you think now where so many more people are going, wait a minute, this is probably that. And then they, you know, like so many, and I see myself too, when I see a mass shooting, I'm like, wonder what this one's about. Is it real? Is it not? Is it who's behind it? You know, people are thinking differently about it.
And why, Sarah? Why?
Well, it's because we're becoming educated about it.
And by whom?
By people like you.
Exactly. Because this has not been obvious for a long time. I mean, the first time that I know that normal people started becoming aware of what a false flag operation is, which I'm going to come back to, was the Boston bombing. I mean, that was the first time when people started reacting. And that was like 20 odd years down the road for me. You know, so how come? I know that I'm just a one-man band surrounded with some wonderful people that are helping me. Otherwise than that, no finances, no one backing, no nothing. But I know for sure that I've reached many, at least several millions of people with this. And what I've tried to focus on is just show the template so that people become aware of it. And so the templates of an assassination and a terror attack are very similar. So do you want an assassination or a terror attack? Maybe a terror attack is better.
Yeah, go through, if you could do each one. I mean, what are the templates so that people can identify it? It's very fascinating, and it's so important that we can intellectually break it down and go, okay, this is what the template typically looks like, so let's look and see if those factors are there.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm not here to prove a point. I'm here to expose what actually happened. So when I've been to more or less all places in Europe where alleged terror attacks have happened, trying to understand what went down here, comparing the official story with what I found on location. And it's totally so different versions. I mean, there's no meeting point at all. And this is very often the official story. Once you start tracking down the evidence, the forensic evaluation of the crime scene, what is there? What is going on? And so on. You will see that after a while, this is just ridiculous.
And wouldn't you say that anybody with critical thinking skills would come to that same conclusion? They just have to say, come on, have your critical thinking skills on and stop being a zombie that just listens to whatever you're told.
I'm not trying to push anything on anyone.
Well, I am. I'm pushing something on someone. Stop being a zombie. Anyway, yeah. Keep going.
So please let me ask you, how is it working for you?
Oh, I'm not pushing anybody other than through this because it's not working for me.
No, because it's not working for me.
Not in my normal life.
If you put up your hand like this, and if we were in the same studio, if you put up your hand and I put up mine, and I start pushing it, what would you do? Automatically, you would push back. You would push back.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I said was, please put up your hand. I did not say push back, but that is the reaction we have inside us. And so if I try to, it's the same thing. If I say, it's totally insane, I'm just pouring all of this on you. And you're like, this individual is absolutely out of it. Or he's a Jehovah's Witness or a Scientologist, whatever. It's the same intensity of us come with when we start talking about these things. We get so focused, our eyes are like this, and you don't understand, and I'm going to teach you.
Well, you can't do it like that. You have to do it with critical thinking. You have to do it smart, and you have to do it. You can't look like a nut job trying to. You have to. This is what's going on. And not everything. The other thing is, not everything is contrived. I mean, weird things happen. And so you have to make sure that you're critically thinking about stuff and not always being paranoid, right? You cross the line to paranoid. But to not use your critical thinking skills and just automatically trust somebody that you know lies and has lied many times is just foolish. But you were going to go over that template, and I don't want to interrupt you because that's so important. Let's get that template out.
Let's get the template out. I've never found a template in a written form But it became, I first became very, very interested in the JFK assassination, almost obsessed. I traveled to the US, to England, and so on. So I really got myself deep in that. And I started writing my own book about it just because I got very, very confused. It was so multi-layered. And very often, let me know if I bore you, very often.
No, I yawn not because you're boring. Trust
me.
I yawned and I'm so sorry. Keep going.
No, I was kidding. But what was so confusing to me was that the same person that I found in one book was maybe working for the CIA. Then another book that was just as trustworthy said he was working for the mob. And a third one, he was working for the FBI. And I was like, how is this possible? And it turned out it is possible that the same individual are working for more than one agency, and that we're looking at a multi-layered, very bizarre psyop with something totally different going on than in the real world. Anyway, I went from JFK. Then that got me interested in Robert Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King very much so, Malcolm X. And then the Swedish Prime Minister, Olof Palme, was gone down. And over the years before that happened in 86, I had started to see that it feels to me like even though they're killed in different ways on the location, there's so many similarities. So I started putting together what I call like a bullet point list, you know, point one, two, three, four, five. And I was born in Denmark, grew up in Sweden. I thought that I lived in the perfect country. That was what we were told, the democracy, the beautiful white island where everything was, you know, no violence, no corruption. And so when he got killed, which was an absolute shock for people in Scandinavia, totally like the JFK, I thought that, thank God, we can trust the police. Within a month or so, they will take in the murder and so on. But then it started, and I started seeing the exact same thing happening in Sweden. Blew my mind out because I thought, how can it follow the same template if they're not somehow connected? And so I said, if I'm correct here, then I check with the other assassination. Well, I don't know what step it was, but step 8 or whatever on the template. This is what's going to happen. 2 weeks later, boom, that exact thing happened in Sweden. It absolutely pulled the carpet under my feet. I felt like I was falling into a black hole because I felt I am believing a lie. I've grown up in a lie because otherwise this would not be possible that they're pulling this one off. So let's get back to the template. Anyway, it was through looking in so many different cases that I started seeing what was being used. So I'll just take out a few ones. When you look at, for instance, an assassination or an alleged terror attack, if it's a real attack, it will be pulled off by professionals. If it's an assassination, they will not trust just one person. It will most of the time be triangular fire, multiple escape cars, with backup from local police, but not local police, but people in the local police uniform in local police cars. Not the same thing. But being backed by the local authorities, the government there or whatever, is part of it. They're forced into making sure that the real thing doesn't occur. So if it's a real assassination, it is carried out by professionals. But there will be, here's one of them, a patsy. There will be somebody, a lone crazy guy, very important, alone and crazy, that carried it out. Why is he alone? Because then by law, there's no conspiracy. And then you deal with it in the court without it being a conspiracy. So if this person is suicided or killed on site, boom, case closed.
Well, they usually almost always kill them too? There's never a trial afterwards. The lone nut always gets killed.
They don't want to trial cases. So you have the alone there. And why crazy? Because then there's no need for a motive. He was crazy. He just went up and shot him. Oh, by random chance, it was the prime minister. But he was just a lone crazy guy. Or he was obsessed with an actor or whatever type of crap scenario they put together. But lone crazy, that is a major. Every time you hear about a lone crazy, a lone wolf type, every single time, I would say you have to make that a major warning sign for a possible setup, a false flag operation, or a black op here. So professionals are carrying it out. There will be all the witnesses that have seen something will be mistreated. They will not be listened to. They will sometimes be threatened. They will sometimes be eliminated, depending on how much they will stand up for what they actually saw. You will see that the crime scene will be treated differently than a normal crime. So the forensic team that goes in there have this incredible habit of going in there and cleaning it up and then planting evidence pointing towards the patsy. It's the patsy, the patsy, the patsy. Then you will have the investigation that comes up very quickly. They will be there standing out having press conferences and say, we will find the truth and this will not... But what are they actually doing? They never come to any conclusion. They never find anything except pointing towards the patsy. Because right away on the crime scene, there will be things pointing straight to the patsy, like their passports, really,
or and, something and, like yeah, this is really something. But never mind all the other facts pointing out everywhere else. That's never the one mind. Thing that when you hear the narrative, they ignore all the massive other facts and just pay attention to like four of them that point to the patsy.
Yeah, but it's like if you are a suicide bomber, for instance, and you've dedicated your life to ISIS, you are so focused on blowing yourself up today. So you get the balaclava black, you get the black outfit, you get the bombs going, the ISIS flag. Don't forget the Quran to put that in the car. And then, of course, what else? Your passport. You cannot do a suicide mission without your passport.
Well, because that means that we need to be able to identify you as a patsy. Right. I mean, yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, 9/11, you had this car, the rental car that they found, you know, that had come down from Florida up to New York, where it was parked in a parking lot. The record speed, it could never have gone there at that time. But they found it, and it was them that had it, because in the car they found a Quran and also a VHS cassette on how to fly a Boeing 757.
As if he could be that talented at flying that kind of plane that he and be watching a VHS tape on how to do it.
He learned through that because he was an awful pilot before, but through the magic of VHS, he got the knowledge to do things, maneuvers that no one else has been able to copy since then, and so on. But, and you think, yeah, but this is ridiculous. I mean, nobody would buy that. Well, I tell you.
But they do.
We do.
That's what I mean. Everybody does. Well, I don't anymore, I hope.
But this is why I try to sort of point things out in a way that people will start seeing for themselves that this is not something I'm making up. It's happening.
Let me ask you one thing that Catherine Austin Fitz said when she was on my show is she said they used to have the A team doing these attacks. Now it's like they brought in the B team because this, you know, the shooting in Florida and the Boston attack. I mean, it was so poorly managed that it wouldn't have been done so poorly in the past. And what that indicates is infighting in the ranks and that the A players don't want to be involved. I mean, that's what she's speculating. What do you think? Because it's bad. I mean, or is it just we are so much more aware and we have the internet now?
The internet is a major factor. But what happened was that in the old days, you had one of these happening maybe once every 5 years. You know, with massive budget, massive planning, all the top players involved, the same individuals, very skilled ones, like the JFK assassination. That is a masterpiece if you look at these type of operations. It's 50 years down the road, we're still confused. So masterpiece. 9/11, still confused when it comes to the exact understanding
of what
happened.
But we know it's BS.
Of course, but
I mean, there's a difference. Do you know what I mean? We know that they've totally followed it up. I mean, as far as their narrative doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, and still, so what difference did it make? Have we caught them? Have we done anything about them? No. So they thrive.
It points back to the government. One thing the government did is it undermined our whole government because now nobody trusts the government anymore. So maybe that was their agenda, because if that was their agenda, they sure you know, nailed that one. Because how can you trust a government that sticks by a narrative that's so obviously wrong?
So did it change anything? Has the government been abolished?
Well, I think our elections and our, I mean, we're in a really precarious time.
Yep.
I mean, I've never seen our country this divided.
Nope. Divide and conquer is one of the templates. That's one of the few templates, divide and conquer. And then you have, I would say, like a con man like Donald Trump, if you check out his whole career, that is the career of a con man. Lots of people that he borrowed money from, he built up a lot of things on borrowed money that he didn't have, and so on. Getting up there, how on earth did he manage to get to the position where he was? But that's another game plan, because we got Hillary and Obama. We can come to those later, because once again, we're looking at criminals on a very, very high level.
Well, and the whole thing is, you know, you look at like John F. Kennedy, who got there through the mob, right? And he ended up being, he ended up changing his ways and being something great. There's a level of corruptions here. I mean, the mob almost looks good compared to ritual child abuse and stuff. You know, I mean, who knows? Maybe the mob actually is a white hat right now. I mean, that's how bad it is when you start looking at what they're doing to children.
Sarah, what they're doing to us. I mean, if you ask me, what do I fear? I fear going through an airport, passport controls and stuff like that. That's what I fear, to just be taken. Thank you, sir. Can you please come with us? And just disappear in an orange overall. If you ask me, do I fear Hell's Angels? I would love to go and visit them. Gangs, I would love to go and visit them. It's totally upside down. The ones that are said to be the ones we could trust is the ones we should fear. Everything is upside down. Black is white and white is black.
Well, exactly. You put a child molester in prison, they won't last long. I mean, those guys are better than, I mean, that, I always say the worst of the worst are leading us. Anybody that does that to children are the worst of the worst. And I'd much rather be in a prison surrounded by a bunch of thug prisoners than those people.
Yeah, but most of the child molesters are in government positions or in power positions.
I know.
They're not in the prisons, absolutely.
No, and that's what I'm saying. I'd much rather be surrounded by a bunch of people in prison than, I mean, I'd much rather be led almost by them than people who are mass abusing children.
I would much rather lead myself.
Well, yes.
Not lead someone else.
Thank you. Yes. I'm just comparing.
I agree. But it's like, what do you prefer, shooting yourself from the left or the right side? You still sort of get destroyed. So,
well, I'm just saying that everybody should be in this battle. I mean, we're in a battle against the worst of the worst. And when drug dealers and mob bosses and you know, thugs in prison look like they're on my side and we're going against somebody else, that's when things are pretty serious. It's not like they were before, but this is serious.
But do you know, like Hells Angels in Sweden, I was told that they are looking at some of my lectures about false flags operations and how it's all set up and so, because they're the victims of this as well, because they're the ones that are being blamed when they're innocent. But we believe all the bad guys. So as soon as there's been an execution of somebody and it's blamed on Hells Angels, we right away, gang war. We just buy it. If the newspapers say gang war, gang killing, we say, okay, instead of going there on location, checking out what actually happened. And so let me get back to the template. So we have.
Okay, we get sidetracked. Get your template out onto the table for people.
There would be a patsy for sure, a lone crazy guy. That is one major thing to look out for. When it's a mass shooting or an alleged terror attack, every time I say a terror attack or mass shooting, please add the word alleged, because I have more or less over all of these years hardly seen any real ones, according to the official story. Okay, so.
Don't you think it's important to always use the word alleged in things just to protect yourself?
I don't care about protecting myself. I'm saying that the alleged attack is that we're being told that it is an attack. I add the word alleged because I put a major question mark around more or less 100% of all the cases I looked into, which is bizarre. It is bizarre. But Judge Napolitano, he says the exact same thing. All the terror attacks and mass shootings in the US have been staged, and where the FBI has been part of providing training, supplying the people involved, and also deleting the evidence, confiscating the evidence, all of these things. So once again, we're looking at an organization like the FBI that should be there to protect us. I call them fraud, bribery, and I don't know, I forget about that.
You can put idiots in there.
That's the way.
Because that would do that to their own people are idiots, but keep going.
And once again, I'm not saying everyone, but there's a core element that is totally rotten, and that is the one that is doing it to us. The same with the CIA. I'm sure that there's people out there. The DIA, I'm sure. The ATF, I'm sure that there's really good people, but it's people.
We know that that there are. I mean, it would be really naive for us to think otherwise. Keep going.
No, but these people need to shape up. They are our hope inside these organizations to step forward and say enough, enough.
Courage.
We know from the inside, in extreme courage, because it is very scary, but we need whistleblowers from the inside that steps forward. You know, like I have an amazing, amazing man by my side. His name is Cody Snodgrass. Maybe we can come on your show one time. He is a former Black Op contractor, more than 20 years doing that under the CIA, who's now, after 22 years, have stepped forward as a whistleblower.
Incredible. I'd love to have him on my show. That would be really great to have you guys there together.
Yeah, I tell you, let's do that soon.
Yep.
Let's set it up. But back to the template. So
I'm not talking anymore. Do your template.
Okay. There will be a lone crazy guy. There will be a drill beforehand if it's an alleged attack. The drill is there. The drill is super important to know about, because the drill is there to get vehicles in position, explosives in position, smoke bombs in position, film crews in position, makeup artists, all of these things in position. That is done during the drill. The drill will be announced in radio or TV saying, tomorrow, for your protection, we are going to do this. It will be a mass shooting drill or a terror attack drill or whatever, but it's for your protection. And we will close off this area, so please bugger off and leave us alone. And what they do is, during this drill as well, they rehearse it several times. They also film it, and they do it so that once the event goes down, the live event goes down, they can mix the footage from the drill and from the live event, saying, this is happening right now. And then this, we think that, oh, this is what's happening now, right now. No, a lot of it was filmed during the drill. And a lot of, I would say more or less, all the HD quality photos that are taken, that are being spread out to the rest of the world during the face of terror, these high quality photos, mostly taken by Associated Press and Reuters, are also taken during the drill so that they make absolute sure that they have these images. Then we have the catwalk. I call it the catwalk of terror, where there's somebody with a cell phone that walks down the street in among the victims. It's very blurry, and you will only see the backs of people, ordinary civilians that are sitting down next to victims, taking care of them, giving them CPR or whatever. But this person is just walking around like this. It's the standard part of it. And just there to give you the image of carnage, you know, horror, horror, horror. But it's just from a cell phone, so it has to be from just an ordinary person. Absolutely not. It's part of the operation. So the drill, super, super important to know about. And I keep asking people, please, when you hear about a drill in wherever you live, go there the day before and on the day when this drill is sitting there, and film them. Make it very, very obvious to them that they are being filmed while they set the whole thing up. It will look very much like a film set, because that is exactly what it is.
Well, the Florida shooting, they had a drill, they had multiple drills that went on at that school before the shooting went on. But it was I think it was a couple weeks before. Now, it doesn't have to be during, it can be a couple weeks before.
Yeah, but most of the time it's right before. In Florida, you had several drills. One of them was on the very morning when this shooting took place.
Okay.
So sometimes the drill is, for instance, the mass shooting in Norway, when they blew up the government building. There was one drill that ended at, I think, a quarter past three in the afternoon. 8 minutes later, boom, the government building blew up, just a block or so away. The same, you see, and the 7/7 bombings, the whole thing, there was a drill with 1,500 people involved in central London, and then the drill went from a drill into an active case. So sometimes the drill can go live.
What do you think, though, because, you know, like, let's say you see the drill, like Boston bombing had a drill as well that morning, but nobody, you know, you try to tell people that there's a drill and people just are absolutely offended that you would possibly not believe the narrative because you're being mean to the victims and you're not being a patriot and you're not caring about your own country and all this other stuff. I think that you're being more of a patriot and you're actually being more respectful to victims when you look at the truth. But I mean, there's so much evidence of people that are just so offended that you would even question the narrative. How, you know, when you said, how are you doing by, you know, just being, trying to get people to see, in your 30 years or your how many decades you've been doing this, how do you do that to get through to people that it's more respectful to look at the truth and that, you know what I'm saying? Because this is our problem right now, is getting through this wall.
I believe it's a matter of energy. You know, if you try to force something on it, you have to understand also, or in my opinion, it's good to understand that what you're trying to say to the other person is that I'm very sorry, but everything you believe in and have fought for and stood up for is not true, or most of it. Because once you start lifting the veil, it is a scary, very confusing situation you find yourself in, because we have been duped over so many decades that we're finding ourselves in a place where I'm in a situation where I'm unlearning on a daily basis, like, oh my God, that one as well? Are you kidding me? And that one and that, you know, I thought I knew history, I thought I knew about the Second World War, I thought I knew about this individual, I thought I knew, and it just turns out that one as well, and that one. So it's like you have to be, it's almost like this word that is being used all the time, being awake. What does that mean? I think being aware is a better word. Because I think I'm still asleep on many levels that I have still to understand.
I agree
but
with that, yeah.
It is like if somebody you love is asleep, would you go to the bed and just shake them like this and wake up, wake up, wake up, and then say, I'm sorry, the whole world is totally rotten, it's corrupt, and all of these things, wake up, wake up, wake up. How would that individual wake up? How would they treat you? They would freak out and try and defend it. Pissed off. What are you doing? Leave me alone.
I'm sleeping. Yeah.
I'm sleeping. I'm very comfortable here in my sleep. Bugger off. Leave me alone. Get a life. Go away.
But we don't have that luxury, though. I mean, we have to fight. I mean, there's some serious things going on with people dying. So how do we walk that fine line? And maybe I'm asking you something you haven't figured out yourself yet either. But so many people are grappling with this. And I know my solution is to create this show and to start doing what I can, bring people like you on who are experts. I'm doing what I can and learning myself. Cause I don't, like you said, you're always learning every day, because what does it mean to be awake? You know, it's an onion. But that being said, people are dying. You know, we have to break through this to a certain degree. Yeah. And the people who aren't awake, they're going to fight for the other side, and it's going to be brutal, and hopefully it'll be a peaceful fight. But that's where things can get ugly.
And that is the last thing I want. If anything I say is part of creating ugliness or violence, then I've totally failed. But what I feel is that instead of shaking them, forcing these things on them, you have to do it with feeling. You have to knock on the door. And if the door is open, see if there's an interest. Knock on the door And if there's an interest and they open the door, then okay, you can start talking about these things. If you just try to kick in the door, they will fight you. And nothing good comes out of it. And I would say also avoid family members, spouses, close friends. These are the individuals you should not start talking about these things with, because they love you in a certain way, and suddenly they have this person in front of them that seems like he's joined some sect and is so intense and is so changed that they will do everything they can to stop the change from taking place. And so avoid close friends, spouses, people, and find like-minded. Because it is very brutal information to deal with. So what I try to do is, my focus is love, compassion, forgiveness. I'm not fighting at all. There's no fight. I am doing everything I can to let the truth do the work. I'm not trying to persuade anyone. I'm not interested in debate. I'm not interested in arguments or discussions. I will do everything I can to find forensic proof of a certain thing and then present it in as good a way as I can, so that there is no... My intention with my presentation is that it's game over. I mean, you see it and you see for yourself, holy shit, you, the viewer, make up your own mind like, oh my God, this is incredible. I'm not trying to persuade anything. I'm just the one who have gathered the information saying, here, please have a look, make up your own mind. And that's my part. That's the only thing I can do. And then focus on that I come from the heart, that I don't come with aggression, hatred, anger, any of that, because that would affect the whole thing. It will poison it. And there's this beautiful thing coming from that point of view. I'm not a religious person, but before every single interview or presentation I do, I pray to all the saints and sages, all the angels. There's a bearded guru that one of my friends have. I ask him as well, please, my ancestors, assist me. Get my ego out of the way. Help me say the things that are needed to help this world lift to the next level of beauty, harmony, understanding, forgiveness, and so on. Also, if you believe in angels or not, I mean, to me, it's a bit woohoo, woohoo. At the same time, I've seen so many examples of them actually existing, but they cannot help you if you don't ask them to join. So I ask them as well. And I tell you, many times I've done like whole day presentations of gruesome things, like 10-hour presentations about the assassination of Olof Palme, which is a mind-blowing case, and followed by 2 hours of Q&As, and people have not wanted to leave. And it's this feeling of companionship and camaraderie and love. And I mean, I go to places, I come, people are like this, I leave, and there's this incredible feeling of love in the area.
But at some point, what do we do about the children who are being abused? I mean, at some point,
But this is making the change. I go on location, I go to these places, I go see victims, do you see? So it's a matter of, what do you want to accomplish? Do you want to create more enemies, or do you want to accomplish a result? Do you know? So it's like, how do you do it?
Get people to stop. I mean, to educate people is one thing, yeah. But to get the criminals to stop abusing children, there's a point where be loving and nice to them. I mean, they have to be forced to stop, I think, in some way. I've come to that conclusion. I don't think they're going to stop on their own.
No, but the truth is the weapon we have. The only thing they fear is the truth. That is why they kill people like myself. I mean, I don't step on ants. I don't kick a dog. I don't do anything. Still, I get death threats. Why? Because I deliver what I have found to be the truth. That is the only thing they fear. Why are all of these people being taken out in car accidents, alleged car accidents, or suicides,
a lot of people.
What is the common thing about them? They're standing up for the truth. They're standing up fearless, exposing what's going on. So I'm not talking about being a wuss or lying down. I'm facing these forces on a daily basis, putting myself on the line every time I go somewhere into a different country. Shit's scary, I tell you, because who knows who's waiting. I know I'm being welcomed by some. I know that I'm hated by others, the people behind these operations.
That was Gandhi's and Jesus's message on how to fight.
And Gandhi, if you look at Gandhi, this incredible soul who he walked around in what looked like diapers. He had a walking stick. He had hardly any teeth. He had glasses, hardly any hair. He had no army. He had no title. He had no backing financially. And still, he managed to unite a country like India. I mean, have you been to a country like that? How can you divide or unite total chaos? That is what he managed. And he managed to get the British Empire to leave India in a non-violent way without one shot being fired. I mean, when you think of it, so he is a guiding light for me because he showed not easy, not impossible.
And I remember reading that he learned that whole method through Jesus, his studying of Jesus.
It's a universal truth.
Yep.
But I also think that I love Aikido, the martial art Aikido, which is very different from, for instance, karate or kung fu, or so where mm-hmm. there's where you hit and you
block. Use their own force and you.
That's exactly
flowing thing of energy and yeah, yep.
Yeah.
The Can only I thing, add? Go ahead.
Please do. No, what you do is you use the force that is being. At you're being attacked with, you it's very important you keep your inner balance, you don't take in the aggression from the aggressor, and you get out of the way so that their force passes you, and then you redirect it into a circular motion up to the sides, whatever, but therefore so that they go down on their own force. Then you make very sure that they don't hurt themselves by putting the foot on the head before it hits the floor or whatever, and then you control them.
Yeah, because you make sure their force doesn't hurt you, but it's redirected towards them, and it may be even stronger because of the physics behind it, and it works. Let me ask you, I keep saying let me ask you.
Please do.
Will you stick around and do a little short question for my Patreons?
For sure.
Okay, thank you so much. You were a blessing to have today. You have so much knowledge. I definitely need you back.
Anytime, Sarah. This is what we can do. You know, because it is through programs like this. I thank you so much for creating a platform like this, because this is really making a difference. This is making a possibility for people like myself and all the years of what we have devoted our lives to. You are giving it a way to get it out there. When I started doing interviews, I didn't even know if anybody was listening. I was sitting on a toilet, you know, with a computer on the toilet, with a chair in front of it, with a cover, a blanket over my head to avoid the echo. So I was actually really undercover. And just speaking into nowhere, I did not know if anyone was out there. But I just kept on, also for my own security, because the only way you can have any kind of protection doing this type of thing is to get the spotlight on you, either stealth under the radar or spotlight. But so I was named the hardest working guy in alternative media for quite a few years, but that was to protect myself as well. So.
Well, thank you so much.
I'm always here. I'm always here, anytime, however many programs you want. And I love to bring on Cody on your show as well,
that
because
would be wonderful.
he is amazing, because he's been in the belly of the beast during many years. Then he died. He had two flatlines. He met an angel who decided to come back down here again, and then kept quiet for some 22 years when he went on a spiritual road, where he's done everything he can to redeem himself and help a lot of people for free, a lot of veterans and people suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome, so Agent Orange, all these type of things. And then in December last year, for about a year, I helped him to step forward as a whistleblower. And the knowledge he has is amazing. And so when the two of us are on the same show, I try to bring him on as many as I can, because we our knowledge is in separate areas, but on about the same thing. So it's amazing to play ball with him. And he's an absolute fearless individual.
Well, we'll take you up on that for sure. So let's talk Go afterwards on getting that scheduled. So again, thank you so much.
My absolute pleasure, Sarah.